Amen. Yes. It's exactly what we want to have. You can maybe be seated. It's exactly what we want. The Holy Spirit to come and fill us now. Not tomorrow. Not later on this afternoon when you're watching the Super Bowl, you know, and you'll feel some spirits. I don't know what kind you'll feel. I hope they're good spirits. But, you know, we get excited about that sometimes, don't we? And you've heard preachers say it before, but wouldn't it be great if we got that excited about the kingdom of God and about the church and about the gospel? Wouldn't it be great? Boy, we could, as they fill that stadium today, we could fill churches and fill communities, and things would happen in the name of Christ, wouldn't they? Okay, I'm reading to you this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading starting at verse 18. And you will see as I read this how this ties in not only to what we were singing, but how it ties in to the children's time this morning. So let us hear these words. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preach to save those who believe. For Jews request sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that did not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glorify in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glorifies, let him glorify in the Lord. What was the chorus we sang? You are the one we praise. You are the one we adore. You know, if we truly, truly did that, things would happen with a lot more unity and a lot more peace, a lot more clarity, and a lot more communication. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your word that has gone forth. May it accomplish that which you want it to do in our lives today. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you get how many times foolishness was mentioned in those passages of Scripture? Paul had been in Corinth, he had begun the church there, and now that he had left, he had heard that things were not going the way that they were supposed to go, that things in the church that he had begun were starting to get a little bit chaotic. There were factions forming within the church. These factions were causing disunity in the church. These factions were causing barriers in the church. Some people were following after different persons in the church. And so Paul then is writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And basically what Paul was saying is, cool it. He is saying, cool it. And basically what Paul was saying is, the source of your who you are, the source, the very foundation of what you believe, and who you are called to be is to rest in Christ and Christ alone. If you are praising Christ, if you are adoring God, then there is no room, for jealousy and pride and selfishness and anger and all those other things that you want to put in there. And so Paul as he brings this message to the Corinthians, he reminds them that, you know, when he came to them, he did not come with speaking words of wisdom and spouting theological phrases. He came preaching a simple message, Christ crucified. And, you know, that's the message that we need to be involved in and that we need to teach and preach. And so many times we feel like, every one of us feel like, well, I don't know the right words to say. Or I can't really go and talk to someone about Jesus Christ because I don't know all the things that I need to say. What Paul was saying, and Paul was saying that when he came to Corinth, he trusted in the Holy Spirit to give him the wisdom and to give him the right words to say. And that's what he's reminding the church in Corinth to do, and that's what he reminds you and I to do. You know, the church is a family. Christ's body is a family. And yes, in the family, we do have issues, do we not? Sometimes, many times. But so many times within that family, when we have an issue with someone, we might have to think about it. We might have to pray about it. But if we take the focus off ourselves and put our focus on Christ, then what are we called to do? What is the Spirit going to lead us to do? It will lead us to reconcile with our family member or our brother or sister. And that Spirit also leads us to be reconciled with one another in the church. You know, Paul was saying, you know, these factions are not of Christ. The disunity that is being created is not what God intends for His church. Not only that, it hurts the church. It disrupts the church witness in the world. And you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, when in our church family, if we are not at peace with one another, how in the world? How in the world is those outside of the body of Christ, how are they supposed to see and observe what Christ is doing in your life, in my life? The same thing in a family, the same thing between spouses. You know, when we get angry at one another, or when I have some issues with Michelle and she has some with me, and yes, I'm the preacher and we're not perfect and we have those. Or I've had them with my children. And many times, you know, they will tell you, I had to go to them and ask forgiveness. Because I lost my cool, or because they didn't do something the way that I thought it should have been done. I put myself in there instead of saying, well, how would God handle this? How does the Holy Spirit, how does Christ want me to live into this situation. As my buddy, former Superintendent Richard Stone said, Jerry, you got to live into it. We have to live into it. How do we live into that moment and that time? If we think about ourselves, we will live in it the wrong way. I can tell you that right now. If we put ourselves on the pedestal, if I put myself on the pedestal, thinking and believing, no, you got to do what I say when I say it because I'm older than you are, I'm more experienced than you are, and I know what's best for you. That might be true, but is there a way to do it in love? You know, is there a way to teach and to communicate in love and not out of selfishness and not out of anger? Paul reminds the church, and he reminds us that the church is a family. He also reminds us that the church is a field. You know, people in the church and some church in God's church, many folks in the church were getting upset. Some were following different people in the church. Well, I'll follow Apollos, I'll follow this person, I'll follow that person. What Paul was saying, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who plants the seed. What matters is fruitfulness. What matters is that the kingdom of God is being nurtured and being fed by Christ's Spirit. And who is the church? Who are the church? We are the church. And if our foundation, if the source of who we are is not right, is not what it's supposed to be, fruit will not come. And how does that happen? By taking our minds off of self and putting our minds on Christ. The church is not only a family and a field, but the church is a building. What holds this building together? What holds this building together? That brick out there, or that brick over there, or that column right there, or this wall over here. What holds it together? Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff goes into holding this church together and making it a sanctuary, a place of peace, a place to worship, a place to seek God's presence and power, a place to seek His Holy Spirit, a place of warmth, place of kindness, a place in which we smile and share with one another and lift up, a place where people, everybody gives gifts and those gifts are multiplied so that we can bear fruit in the world by the various ministries that is happening in the church. What holds it together? Not one thing. Many things. So it is with the body of Christ. God has a purpose for each one of us. And what Paul is saying and what we need to be reminded of is that we're all in this together. And if there is an issue, if there is something that is putting a barrier between you or a brother or sister in the church, or between you and the preacher, or maybe you and the Sunday school teacher. Or maybe you and your neighbor. Let's resolve it. The church is not the place where it needs to be, where it needs to happen. And neither is our families. And so Paul is saying, put your mind on Christ. How do we do that? We worship. We pray. We read God's word. We live in peace with our brothers and sisters in our families and outside of our families, at school, with our bosses, our colleagues. We live at peace. We reconcile to them daily. Because see, we're all sinners and we fall short of God's grace. And we're not perfect yet, but one day we will be. One day we will be. In Christ, we will be perfected as the saints of God. But we're not there yet. But there is a way to get there, Paul was saying. And that is, make Jesus Christ the very source and foundation of who you are, what you are, and how you witness your faith. In a moment, we're going to prepare to have Holy Communion together. It is a time of reconciliation. It is a time when we seek and ask God's forgiveness. It is a time when we can pray, lift up that person or community who has failed you in some way or another, and figure out, pray about how you might resolve that so that you will be at peace, your family will be at peace, the church will be at peace, and the community will be at peace. Foolishness? The gospel is not foolishness. It is the power of God to salvation. Live in that power. Embrace that power. Seek that power. And when we do that, we are building on the right foundation. Let us pray. God, we thank you again for the power of the cross. Lord, the cross is not based on who we are or what we do or where we worship or what we have. It's based on Christ crucified. Christ crucified on the cross for every living being on this planet. And we thank you for that simple message that we can embrace, that we can love, and that we can teach to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.